Blog Talk Radio.
And the British lady has spoken. Good evening and welcome to ScaryCast. This is Dr. John Stamey. It's so good to be here on a Friday night. I can't think of anything better to be doing except watching a UFO land. We're hanging out with the Bigfoots or Lizard Man. I've been hanging out with Lizard Man a good bit recently. We're finishing up that the third edition of the book, and it'll be out in a couple of weeks. Lots of interesting things. So anyway, I'm glad to be here from a chilly Myrtle Beach, but live in Myrtle Beach. So our the first lady of ScaryCast, Robin Hayes, Hayes McCray. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. How are you?
Yeah, make no comments about my pronunciation. Anyway, we're glad to have you here.
Yeah, he's never met me before.
That's right. I haven't seen her in 2 days. And Janice Carter and a whole bunch. But anyway, we're glad to have you here and all that. So you'll be introducing our guest to us in a minute. From Harlan County, Kentucky, the most murderous place in the world, or at least in the U.S., right, Tony? It's Tony Pelosi. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Just great.
We are rocking.
I'm excited about the show.
I am.
Well, I am. Absolutely. And I was going to say one thing, if I can remember to say. Here's the deal. I always like to. I like country music, and I always like to message and introduce myself to country music people that look like they're doing pretty well. And I got to tell you something. I sent out a post here about an hour and a half ago for this guy named Tommy Luke. He's a Nashville musician, and he's out on tour. And I'm telling you, and I sent you a link to where you can hear his music. That boy is great. He is so good. So if you have a chance, now not during the show, you must listen to the show. But after the show, listen to Tommy Luke. And in fact, we'll probably have him on ScaryCast just so he can come and hang out with us. He seems like the kind of musician that would like this. So anyway, so check him out. We always like to promote good people that are working hard. We really do. So anyway, back to the important paranormal matter at hand. Robin, introduce us to our newest friend tonight, our guest for the evening in ScaryCast.
All right. Well, this is a very dear friend of mine. He's just an all-around super guy, heart of gold on him, and the Foots absolutely love him. His name is Steve Malik, and I was introduced to Steve by a extremely close friend of mine, and I'm so blessed that she did because he's just one heck of a nice guy. So much fun to be around, and he really knows a lot. He's had a lot of great experiences. So Steve, now that I've embarrassed you, if you can, start out, just kind of give us an update on how you got into this, and then we'll go into some of all these experiences, because I know you have a ton.
Well, thank you, Robin, and John, for having me. It's very nice to be here. You know, it turns out that I've had the Sasquatch people in my life my entire life, but it wasn't until probably when the show The Bigfoot or Finding Bigfoot came out that I became acutely aware of their presence. And really, it was based on fear. I mean, when that show came out and legitimized their being, it was like, oh boy. And, you know, here I was traveling back and forth between Washington State and California to go visit my mom, and those long drives started to freak me out. It was a whole different ballgame being in the dark at a rest stop with these beings around, and I could feel them.
Yeah.
And it really kind of scared me, right?
Yes, so, they can be intense.
You know, and so I had no bearing on how to process this, and of course I did what everybody else did. I think that once you have that interest, and I found myself over at the Bigfoot forums where I met our mutual friend, and it wasn't too long into it that I found out that, you know, this, that I was attracted to the paranormal side of things. I had no interest in going out and looking for footprints or anything else like that. I was just fascinated on how they could exist as a people.
Well, I think in your case, you kind of jumped past the flesh and blood, and it just was like, okay, we're here, so now we're just going to be the way we normally are. Like, they didn't do
exactly
the warm-up stuff with you, if I remember correctly.
Well, they didn't, and I you guys have to cut me off because I'll get talking and won't stop. But I will tell you my very first experience that happened once I became aware again through finding Bigfoot that they could even be a thing. And I was at my mom's place. I was cleaning it out. We had moved her to a rest home. And it was probably May or June of 12, hotter than the Dickens. And just as I came awake, I mean, not a second later, this enormous roar of a Sasquatch came bellowing down the canyon. And, oh, boy, it was like, well, they found me. They're real. And now what do I do with this information,
now
right?
What do I do?
Yeah. And I couldn't believe that dogs weren't barking, that nobody else was up and wondering what the heck that was. I mean, it was like as if it was just meant for me.
Now, Steve, I got to tell you something. I've had similar experiences. It's like, why aren't the dogs? They're all around barking, and I got all this stuff going on. And you know, you said the funniest thing. You said, well, what do? I'm going to tell you what you do. You say, good morning. Am I correct, Robin?
That's all you do.
It's a hi. What's up? I mean, you know, they're bigger than you are.
Staff them anyway.
It's the truth.
I would do that now, but not at the time, boy.
I don't think any of us would when it first starts up. I think, you know, after you realize that they're there and that there's not much you can do, it's a little bit easier to take. But I think, you know, in the beginning, and I think even after we've been doing it for a while, you end up coming into every now and then a situation when you think you're unflappable. And then something will happen, and it's like, oh, holy crap.
Well, I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to get out of this. But I had a really funny experience today, because today I spent 5 hours at the South Carolina Library, which is a gigantic building in downtown Columbia, doing research on Lizard Man and Bigfoot, you know, some articles, because they've got the best searchable databases in the world. And so, you know, and I talk about writing books and doing Comic Cons and festivals, and I immediately start talking about Lizard Man and Bigfoot, and it's like, and then I go back to worldly stuff, then I go back to otherworldly stuff, and my three new friends, they didn't even hesitate. They didn't even act like anything was going on that was abnormal. Me talking about cryptids. Me talking about, you know, us going to Kingsport, Tennessee, and all this kind of stuff, Robin, you know, like we did for Antonio, like Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. And I think if you say things with conviction, people don't really notice that you're saying something out of the ordinary. And I think conviction and just saying, hey, and like I had something happen last week. It was just nuts out in the woods. And I said, hey, glad you're here. I just went on about my business, and I think, you know, Robin, I think I learned a lot of that from you, and I think that's just the best thing, is you just, if you go on about your business and don't treat them as something frighteningly different, they won't be frighteningly different. Now, Robin, is that consistent with what you found out?
I think so. I think, you know, for years, I tried to, like, I didn't stifle it by any means, but you know, I tried to not bring it out as much because I didn't want to freak people out. And I had my kids were little and they were at home. And I didn't want their friends thinking that their mom was, you know, ready to be institutionalized or them to get teased at school. So they say I never reined it in. But I did rein it in. Then I got to the point where I just don't care. My kids have all moved out of the house because they're adults now. My grandchildren don't live with me. I don't care who I embarrass.
Well, you have about 18 new children. They're the cats and the dogs and the hedgehogs and the pigs.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're thrilled with this. So, I mean, and now, Tony, I will say this. You can't quite do this when you're trying to talk to a spiritual entity. You can't, in a tongue-in-cheek manner, say, hey, what's up? It doesn't work like that, does it, Tony?
Well, yes and no. Once that you get, once you understand that you're just separated by a thin veil, at times you'll feel like, I mean, the parallel I can make to Bigfoot is, at times you'll feel like you're surrounded, or they're around you. You know, there's something there, you just can't see it, and so
yeah.
I will engage in small conversations if I get if anybody else was there, they would think I was a nut. But then I've proven this back out with the Spirit Box and ICC research is, you know, you ask an intelligent question, you get an intelligent an audible intelligent answer coming through the box. So yeah, I can relate to it, not on the scale that you guys can, because I mean I'm not you know, sensitive or anything, but in my experience, yeah, I mean you definitely can talk to the, you know, talk to the dead.
Well, the thing I like with Steve is, like I said, everybody usually starts out at some point with the flesh and blood. He decides he's just going to skip right over that because his group didn't feel like it. And he has just had some incredible different interactions with them, whether it's been at his house or other places. I want him, I keep getting told about this little Bigfoot girl and his dog, Steve.
Okay. Well,
so you have to talk about this.
So, absolutely. So, I just lost him last January, this 13-year-old yellow lab, and I would have to leave him outside during the day when I went to work. And I had him in this blue blanket coat, right?
I remember this. It was hysterical.
It had Velcro straps under its belly, under his belly and under his chest. And, you know, it takes a lot of effort to get out of that damn thing. Well, twice I came home, and here's the dog lying on his bed outside of his kennel. He's in a, you know, a fenced kennel on cement, and he doesn't have this blue jacket on. I'm like, how on earth did he get out of this thing? And so, you know, I checked in with my friend and with Robin, and they found out that somebody was coming and letting him out of that thing. And it took, you know, again, it takes some effort to do that. And when he passed, you know, Robin was
so perplexing.
But he just hated that coat. You know, he was a hunting dog, and he didn't think he needed it. And it was in 30-degree weather. You know, he still didn't care. But somebody was coming and letting him out.
Yeah, they had a good time. I remember that incident. And our friend and I were talking to the foot that was doing it, the little girl. And I was talking to the dog, and he's like, you know, I'm not made to wear a coat. I'm not supposed to wear a coat. I don't like the coat. So apparently he just got some help to get rid of said coat.
Right.
But tell him some of the other things. You get a lot of crazy stuff going on, Steve.
Well, you know, I have. And so I'm a freelance marketing writer, and I've wanted to write for a whole long time. And as I write, I finally wrote a blog just to, you know, encapsulate all these stories. John, is it okay to share the blog?
Yeah, go ahead. It's fine.
Okay. So the
John,
name
are you
of the
there?
Blog is...
Sometimes his phone blinks out.
Okay. The name of the blog is called...
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
The name of the blog is called uncloakedblog.wordpress.com. And one of the very, I guess, most remarkable things that ever happened was that somebody, some being, wrote on this dry erase board at work, and I'm going to read this to you. So it was after I'd been down in Arizona. I don't hunt anymore, but at the time I was a bird hunter, and I'd been down in Arizona, and I had my own experiences there. They were doing all sorts of funny things, like my buddy was in front of me on the trail, and he's always looking down when he walks, and suddenly I'm behind him, and suddenly there's a damn dead skunk between me and him that he had missed. And I said, Greg, did you see this skunk? And of course, a skunk to me represented the smell of the Sasquatch people. So they were just playing a joke, like saying, we're here in Arizona, you know, just to let you know. So when I got back, from this trip, that Tuesday when I came into the office, there's a cryptic message written on a dry erase board. And this is where it just becomes theater of the absurd, but it is what it is. And I'll read this note to you. It says, is it visible? Do you see the end? Are you strong enough to live the way you were made to? Will you make it? And you need, you know, you can go on the blog and see this handwriting. It looks, you know, like a child from the 1700s wrote it. I mean, just big, loopy scripted and what have you.
And there's been a lot of people that have gotten writings from them that have described it that way as well.
You know, and so it's not so much that I went to find Bigfoot. They found me, right? I mean, it's like, okay, what that's all about.
I think that's the way it usually happens.
Yet, but, yeah, but it's been quite a journey.
I think that's great. I know, like I said, my friend and I have talked to Steve's Bigfoot group quite a bit, and they just love him. I think they torture him more than they do anything else.
It's
what was your favorite experience that you've had? What would be your favorite?
Okay. So they've done a lot of funny things, but I will say that it was two summers ago when I was camping with my brother, and this time he was in the camper, I was in the tent, and it was in a public campground in Northern California. And it's probably 11 o'clock. Everybody, you know, there's 50 campers, maybe 100, and all sorts of RVs. Well, anyway, the hillside just lights up. I mean, there was a wild man yell. There's rocks rolling down the hill. There's tree limbs breaking. I mean, it was a Sasquatch party happening. And I'm in my tent listening to all this. And suddenly it gets very, very quiet. And I could hear some footsteps coming down the hill, coming into the campground. And next thing I know, and my dog at the time was alive. He's on the bottom of the tent. And somebody is tugging at the corner of my tent, like a dog tail swooshing. And I look, and he's not moving. Well, and actually, let me back up a second. The best part of this whole story isn't the fact that this little Sasquatch girl was tugging at the tent. It was this literal wave of love that just as she came in or they came into the campground, this wall of love, just like a bow wave, just pushed into me and through me. And I literally had to catch my breath. And it was just this intense feeling of love. And then she started tugging at my tent as if to say, come on, get up, let's play. And I couldn't. I turned, I was on my cot. I said, honey, I said, I love you, but I am just not ready to come out and play yet. And with that, she sort of scampered off, and I could hear some other noises as they kind of went around the campground. But it was their way of saying, you know, you're one of us. We love you and welcome, you know.
Yeah, I want to talk about that for a minute, if that's all right, John.
Please.
John's enjoying it. He doesn't have as much work to do tonight. No, but I do. I'm
busy putting up a graphic and Steve's blog, so I'm just concentrating. Yeah.
Please continue. Okay. No, I want to talk about Bandnap for a minute because he hit on a really good topic, and we've talked about it a little bit before on other podcasts, but I really kind of want to elaborate on it. They have the ability to project emotions on you. I mean, they really do, and a lot of people have called it, like, if they're out in the woods and they get what they call a wall of fear, which basically what it is they project that fear emotion on you, and they get it to try to make you go back the other way, whether it's a warning, whether they're mad, whether whatever their reasons are. And they can project that onto you. But a lot of people don't realize that they can also do the love. And I told this to people many, many times. The bad ones are lethal. There's no other way to put it. They are lethal. The good ones are the purest sense of love you'll ever know, and it goes much deeper than any kind of love we feel with our people. I mean, don't you agree, Steve?
Absolutely, I do. And, you know, that is one of the stories I wrote about. And it was funny because earlier that night, this is kind of cute too. So there was another campground right below us, and this couple came in late, and they had a lantern on their table, and they were sort of bickering. And they were kind of making a racket, right? And we could eavesdrop and listen to what was going on. Well, as I looked their direction, the table lamp lit up this stump or this bush. And I thought, well, God, that was that there before? And I realized what it was. I could see these sort of guard hairs kind of lit up. And I knew what I was looking at. It was a little girl sitting on a stump or a child. I'm pretty sure it was a little girl. And I, you know, I thought I have a choice here. I can either stare or put the flashlight on her. And I thought, well, that's stupid. I don't need proof. I know what that is. And so then the experience that I described earlier happened later that night. the next morning, sure enough, you get up and there's no bush there. There was a little log or a little stump that she was sitting on, but it went from, you know, a 1 foot stump to what it had been, which was 3 or 4 foot high. So that was my first real sighting. And, you know, that I felt it was just polite not to put a flashlight on her. And I think I was rewarded for that.
Yeah, I agree. They don't like the lights. I mean, it really unsettles them and scares them. But they do, and I don't think people realize how much they can project on you. I had an experience, this was years ago, and Igor Borsuk was at my house, and we had someone that was visiting because they wanted to see Igor, and they had come to the house, and I had told them, I said, you know, I don't want you out in the woods unless I'm with you. Okay, I've got females with babies, you know, and they trust me. And the thing is, it's, you know, it's their woods. I just pay the taxes on it. And I don't want them frightened. So, if, you know, if you want to go out there, just tell me and we'll go out there. But they're used to me. They've accepted me. I don't want to scare them with strangers running around. So he said, okay. And then he promptly waited till I went in the house to make dinner and he took off out in the woods. And I'm in the house and I get this intense projection of emotion of fear. Like just a mad panic, like somebody was ready to just come out of their skin. They were so upset. And then I hear crying in my mind. And I mean, it was really a hot mess. And so I said, okay, you know, first thing I said was, okay, what's the matter? Who's her, you know, what's going on? And they kept saying, there's a man here. There's a man here. There's a man here. And it was one of the females that had kids. And this buffoon had went in back exactly like I asked him not to do, and hightailed it back there and was walking around, and she had the kids out. And we had this one low spot in the property that just made it very, very small, like a pond, only probably like a 12 by 12. It wasn't huge. And it had all these tall reeds in it. And she had hid the kids in there, and she was trying to get his attention to get him away from those kids. So as soon as I felt that panic, and then she showed me the kids, and I asked what was going on. So I headed back there, and she told me where he was. I couldn't find him. She finally told me where he was, so I could. But, you know, they do. They have just the most intense abilities. And I don't think, and this is my own personal opinion, not anything that's documented by any means, we are never going to know the full extent of the abilities they have. Because everything, every time I think that maybe, you know, I found out about a great many of them, they come up with more. You know, but they do that. They can project anything on you, and they do it with other animals. They do it with other people. They do it with, I think, probably with themselves as well.
Absolutely.
John's still padding out in the blog.
No, I just got it done. I have now. It's now on Facebook. So if you go to our Scary Cast page, you'll see a link to Steve's blog. Says unclosed.
Yeah, it's a nice blog. Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Now, Steve, are you getting a lot of the interaction just from the house, or is there anywhere you're going?
Well, you know, so I'm told that my guide is always with me. I'll tell you a story that just happened last week. And again, it's sort of, it's funny, as I retail these, it's sort of like it sounds so unbelievable, and yet it happened. So about a month ago, I traveled back and forth to work downtown on the bus, and I have a backpack, and I put a flashlight in there because it's been so damn dark, and the damn flashlight fell out. And I was like, I don't like to lose things. It kind of pisses me off. So I looked all over the house. I looked all over work. And last week, I was coming home on the bus, and it was absolutely packed. And you know, I don't always think about the people. They're not top of mind to me. But I thought, here on this standing room only bus, where's my Sasquatch guy? He says he's always with me. Where, you know, how would he squeeze into this little bus? And so I get home, and on the counter, on the kitchen counter, keep in mind, I live alone. Here's the damn flashlight I lost on the counter. And the message that I get from this is that, you know, you were thinking about Shuld. Shuld is his name, my guide. And he's basically saying, I want you to know that I'm connecting the fact that you were thinking about me to here's this tangible physical evidence within minutes that, you know, I found your flashlight and here it is. Right. And so those are the kinds of things. I've had hairs left over a wallet on my counter. I've had the cat bowl moved because there's some twins that are here that they come and play with the cat. And when I'm gone, they like to, you know, kind of let me know that they were here. And it's just been this, you know, kind of, how would I put it? Cat and mouse isn't right, but just this idea that we're always with you. I've been told they're here more than I know. And it's just this loving reminder, like, hey, we're always here with you.
Well, I know here every time, you know, like I think it'll get really quiet or whatever. And then I'll think, okay, well, maybe they're, because they do go off every now and then. And they were on for 2 weeks. And my friend and I kept saying, you know, wonder where they went, wonder where they went. And I asked one of them, because they'll answer even when they're not here. I still get contact from the ones in Siberia. And I mean, it's been years since I've been there. Yeah, except they never seem to understand. I don't speak Russian. It takes a minute. And once they figure it out, then I get English again. And I asked them, I said, where did everybody go? And they're like, we went into the twilight. Like, it was no big deal. I'm like, oh, okay, apparently that's where we're at. We're in the twilight. Okay, guys. I don't know what they were doing there, but they were gone for about 2 weeks. But they always leave. You know, they said, we left guards. And I said, well, I've seen the guards. You know, one was across the road and one was up by under my window. So, you know, but, I mean, they come and go, and they've got their own lives. Their lives don't wrap around us. I mean, I think ours wrap around them a lot more than they do around ours. But, you know, they're around a lot more than I think people realize. Now, have you had any, like, fingerprints or anything left at your house yet, or handprints or anything? Because I keep getting them in my house.
The only other physical would be this long blonde hair left right over my wallet, just exactly where I would find it. But probably the other, you know, the greatest gift I think I've ever received is this. It happened in February of 16, and I was down fishing, steelhead fishing on the Oregon coast. And, you know, this was when things were really starting to happen. I mean, I consider sort of this awakening that I had. Really was in January of 17, but things were sort of escalating. And so when I was leaving from this fishing trip with this high school friend that I've known forever, on the side of my car was this finger drawn illustration. It's a black car and it was dirty. And so somebody had taken their fingernails and fingertips and drawn this image. And it's really quite remarkable. It's really beautiful, and it's a kind of this ghosty image with big eyes, a big oval head, sweeping hair, and then there's this a couple of right angles, and it's like I knew exactly what it was. I knew that a Sasquatch had drawn on the car to let me know that they were there, and it wasn't until I got home and was able to talk to our friend. We're able to, you know, because you know how it goes. It's like you just put the question out, who drew this picture? And she immediately got this answer, and it was this Sasquatch. She said, well, it was me. And we found out her name is Ariana. And the message was this, because it's really fascinating to me. Because, like I say, this right angle, this rectangle that's drawn, well, that represented the window. There was where I slept. There were no shades at all on this window. So it was an open window. And what she had drawn was this image of herself bending down, peering into this open window as I slept, which we were, you know, we figured that out after. But,
yeah,
I mean, you know, here I've got this physical proof of what, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's been this, and I know, Robin, you've had this your entire life. For me, I went from just normal 9-to-5 guy to, what the hell? I've got these Sasquatch people communicating with me. What?
Yeah.
You know? But it's been such a beautiful journey, right? And here I am now on this call, and it all makes sense to me.
Well, Steve, I got a quick question. Steve, do you have a picture of that artwork you could share with us?
I do. It's on my blog.
Okay. Well, I'll go try to find it, and may I share it once I find it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, please.
Okay, deal.
Yeah, I think it's story number 3, just titled Ariana.
Okay, great. Well, I will look for it and post it while you're talking.
Okay, very good.
Steve, that blonde hair, did you ever, before I tell you this, did you ever find out who left it?
Well, yes, I think it was Ariana. And
because there's a foot right now, there's a female, an adult.
Okay.
Okay, and well, I don't even know, it could be her mom, I don't know, but she's saying that she's the one that placed it there. Now, who the hair is from, I don't know. She said she's the one that placed it there. Her name is Shula.
Okay. That's not a name I've heard before.
No, but you know what? Here's the thing. A lot of them will cop to doing stuff they didn't do just for the credit. So, but I guess I said, did you already know? But, yeah, she's claiming that she's the one that laid it there.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a name that's familiar. But, Ariana was the name that I knew. And, you know, she was purported to be, you know, about 21 at the time. And that would have been in February of 16, I think. Somewhere I've got it written down when that hair was left, but it was within the last year and a half, probably.
Well, this one is older than her.
Okay.
This one I would say would be about 45 or 46 now.
Well, the one, we have this other female, her name's Mina Chi, and one of my other favorite stories was I was heading back from a day of trout fishing. It would have been a year ago, October, on the east side of the Cascades. And, you know, at that time, there shouldn't be any flowering scent. And it was a sort of an Indian summer, beautiful fall day. And my truck was just filled with this floral, heavy honeysuckle floral scent. And for 20, 30 minutes as I drove, you know, back over the pass. And I reached out to our friend a couple days later and asked about that. And Minichi said, well, it was me. And what that scent was for, she was announcing that she was pregnant with twins. And
aww.
Right. And so, but this is, it gets even better because I was walking downtown Seattle to the bus, March of the next year. And I smelled that same scent. And I reached out to our friend, and she says, well, Minichi, she says she just had her twins 2 days ago. So she was projecting that scent to me to let me know that the babies were born.
Wow. That's
really cool.
So it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, poor Tony, he's getting the bunk brush on all this Bigfoot stuff.
It's really interesting. Some of the questions that I have is like, Steve, whenever that the flashlight reappeared, you're talking about and the bowls were moved around. All this happened inside your home, right?
Yes, sir.
That's real similar to some of the paranormal things I've experienced with entities wanting to either be tricksters or to get your attention. Toothbrushes, keys, just small items like that would disappear, and a week or so later just reappear, like you were talking about, like on the counter or someplace you've been by 50 times that week.
Right.
And you knew they weren't there. You know?
Yeah.
So I've experienced things similar to that, but it would, it would be more of a paranormal entity, you know, trying to get my attention. But I find that an interesting parallel.
Well, and, you know, I absolutely. And the thing about it is, like, you know, as you describe it as an entity, you know, I obviously consider them to be interdimensional. And, you know, I've described it as they're both real, flesh and blood, and they're unreal. I mean, they're able to just be wherever they want to be,
exactly,
whether it's energetically or physically.
I agree.
Yeah.
You guys think they accomplished that, to go from physical to metaphysical? Is it some sort of bending space and time, wormhole type things? I mean,
well, when they close,
have,
they've been light. They've told me that for years. In order for them to close, they call it bending of light. But there's a difference in the cloaking and the shimmering, because the cloaking, you can't see them. They're completely transparent. Like, you'll never even know they're there. But when they shimmer, it looks just like a shimmer. I mean, it really does. You can't see what they are, but you can tell when you look, because it's, you know, like the shimmering, almost like looking through water.
Right.
So there's a difference between those two.
The shimmering sounds like an advanced form of camouflage. Is what it sounds like. Advanced form of camouflage, yeah.
You know, but how they do it, I mean, as far as when they, I mean, they'll literally be at my house, and then they'll talk to me again, and they're, you know, and I have proof, physical proof, when they go to somebody else's house. It can be three states away. Like, they literally are there in a blink of an eye. Years ago, this was...
They're able to bend space and time. So that sounds like a wormhole effect. You know,
well, they
go through the portals.
They go through portals. Right. I mean, they can move portals. There's portals that are anchored. There's portals that aren't anchored. I've seen them literally just open up a rift and walk in them. Out of nowhere, you know. And I had one that when we moved to this house, he lives predominantly on the other side of the U.S. at a very dear friend's house. I know that because he used to live at my place with my clan, and I asked him to go there to keep an eye on her to make sure she was okay, because the clan she had kind of dispersed off a little bit. So he went to her house, and literally in 2015, he showed up back at my house. He was at her house that morning, and like an hour later, I walk in my backyard, and he's standing there in physical form in my backyard. And then he was gone in a blink of an eye. And then 2 years ago, when we moved here, one of the Bigfoots from her place, named Micah, showed up at my house. And he likes to, this guy likes to rub skunk odor all over him. And I was in the house, and the dogs were going crazy outside, and I opened the back door, and it just reeked of skunk. I mean, it was so strong, it gagged you. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, the skunks are out there. The dogs are going to get hosed. And I, at the time, my backyard wasn't open. There was a run that went off my back door halfway down the property so they could go there. So I go into the garage. I let them in. There's not one smell anywhere. It's like it's evaporated. Mm. But because I know this particular Bigfoot, and I know that he has that strong smell because he likes it. To him, it's a very pleasing smell. And I was like, Mike, is that you? And he said, yes, I just came to wish you well, you know, now that you've moved. And I said, well, you're welcome here, but it's nice to see you. You know, maybe refrain the odor just a little bit. But that smell was so strong, it literally burned the inside of my mouth. And it was on and off in a second. And not one of those dogs had skunk odor on them, not one. And what was weird is when I got in the garage and I opened the door to let them in, there was no smell in the garage. The entire smell was just gone. And it was so overpowering, I can't even tell you. It just made you want to gag. It was like literally being sprayed.
Wow.
I mean, they can go from point A to point B in a millisecond. You know, and years ago, I used to try to sit there and figure out how they did it and worry about, you know, did it really happen the way I just thought or whatever. I just got past it because I think there's some things in this world we're not ever going to get the full explanation on.
Not at all. You're 100% right.
I mean, we may want them, but in the time it's taken me to sit there and investigate it and try to figure it out, I was missing half a dozen other things, so... I just decided to go with the flow to be my new motto.
That's exactly right. I mean, you have to. That's what I was kind of going on earlier tonight on the show. I mean, this is like, well, sometimes you just have to sit back and smile and hang out and let things happen.
Yep.
Because if you don't,
when I do that,
try...
things get very crazy.
Well, that's okay. So Steve.
Yeah.
This has been going on for quite a while. And what would you say, where do you look to take this? What is your vision of where this mindset for being in and around with these experiences, where do you want them to take you?
Well, boy, what a great question. And, you know, I think they already have, honestly, because, you know, they opened my mind up to a whole different way of thinking. I mean, I started reading, you know, a lot of things that didn't really interest me before, but extraterrestrials, you know, a lot of the Corey Good and the David Wilcock kind of information.
Okay.
And, you know, so it sort of just really opened my mind up even to the idea that, well, one of my favorite authors that I would have never, ever stumbled across is Dolores Cannon. And Robin, I imagine you know her work probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and so this idea of, you know, past lives and the idea that, you know, there are beings that have come into this planet incarnated right now to help Earth raise her vibration for an ascension. And we don't have to get into that, but they've already opened me up to this idea that, you know, everybody is energy and everybody is love and we're all connected. And so really just an entirely different way of looking at life. And so, you know, I just want more of that. I mean, I'm reading things I never would have read before. So that they've already, you know, delivered the gift for sure.
Have you noticed things that tie into it, Steve? Reading material or anything just automatically find its way to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
you know, yeah.
We'll literally,
you know,
turn
living
on our phone, and articles pertaining to this stuff will be on our phone. And it's
right.
Like, okay, I got it. You want me to read it.
Yeah, right? Or, you know, if you buy 5 books and you decide, what, you know, which one should I read first? I mean, it practically jumps in your hand. Like, read this one, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, and whether or not that's, you know, the Sasquatch or that's our own intuitive nature, you know, and I've done a lot of energy work that I would not have done before. And so I'm, you know, spiritually a different person than I was easily 4 or 5 years ago. And I just look at life's challenges differently. So just a lot of personal growth because of their coming into my life.
And I want to put out there, I've done energy work with Steve before. He's very good at it. He's got a knack for it. We worked on a couple different cases together.
The parallels here between what I've experienced with the paranormal and this is just unreal, because I feel like I've grown spiritually through the years. The more I understand and the more I grow, I mean, I feel that it's more of a, you know, you grow mentally, you know, you get smarter at what you're doing, but I feel like I also have grown spiritually through the years, through this journey.
Tony, do you feel like it's just like a never-ending cycle? It's like every time you think you're going to get to a plateau, it's not really a plateau. It's just going up that mountain.
Yes, and opening the door to more knowledge, to deeper knowledge.
Yeah, I love it because it doesn't ever seem to stop. It's just a continual growth. Like once in a while, we might get a break where we get a breather for a week, and then it's hard and heavy, and we're back to going again.
And you're driven. You're driven to want to be better. And when I say better, I don't necessarily mean, you know, you want to be better than everybody else at what you do, but you want to be better to
personally,
to understand more. Yes, personally, and to understand more and to grow more.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it doesn't matter how much stuff that I do or how many cases I talk to people about or how many experiences I have. It's never going to be enough. And it's like every time you see the Bigfoot, I've seen him multiple times, had multiple experiences with him, and every time I see him, it's like the first time, and I get just as excited.
Well, because you're lucky enough to see him. Yeah. Go ahead, Tony, please.
It's like whenever I catch a really good EVP or catch a good piece of footage on film. You know, I've been doing this about 15 years, and I actually probably get more excited now than I did when I first – you know, I was excited when I first started out because it's all new and things. But where I know how to do audio better and video better and things like that. When I catch something, it's like a validation of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. The communication with the other side.
I agree. I can understand that because I know every time, and John teases me about this, but it's true. I'll do something
what?
And I'll get it right, and I'll be so shocked. Like, I still get shocked.
And I say, well,
I mean,
can't have that, Robin. You just got to learn to expect it, and it'll happen. Like it does.
Yeah, it does. It works out pretty good. But, yeah, like you said, every time is always like the first time with me.
But that's okay, you know. A little good anticipation is healthy, right?
Yeah, I guess. It's going to have to be.
Exactly. But anyway, you know, thanks for that answer, Steve, and we're all up to. Let's get some more good questions for Steve. I'm going to ask Tony for one, and then Robin, and then me, and then we'll keep going. So now, Tony, do you have another good question for Steve?
Yeah. Whenever that you first started getting messages, what were your thoughts? I think you covered it a little bit, but how did you get your head wrapped around that? Because that's a pretty big deal, you know, whenever that you're, you know, all of a sudden.
Well, it is a big deal, you know, and so I was very lucky to have our mutual friend, Robin and my mutual friend, who helped sort of make sense of things. I mean, there was never anything that was too outlandish. I mean, she's, you know, so much like Robin, where it's like, you know, you can't out crazy Robin, right? It's like none of this makes sense, and yet she's so loving that it's like, well, yeah, this is, you know, this is real. That actually happened. And so just the acceptance of that, just I would put one foot in front of the next and go, okay, well. So I'll tell you real quick too. One of my other favorite stories is how I became to trust these stories and what was happening to me. So the same place that I had camped that I told you about, the little girl tugging on the tent. Well, the year before, this was probably, again, one of my very first things. So I was just waking up. I was in the camper this time. My brother was in the tent, just waking up, and I heard this absolute cracking wood knock. I mean, it sounded like almost like, you know, a lightning strike. And my brother got up and we had breakfast, and I asked him about that. I said, did you hear that? He says, yeah, you know, I heard it. Well, a couple months go by, and I'm becoming more and more sure that something paranormal is going on. So I reach out to our friend, and I ask her about that. And she asked the Sasquatch who did it. And it turns out it was my guide. And I only heard one wood knock on the ridge above. But the guide told my friend that there were two. And I thought, well, okay, sure, whatever. That doesn't jive. But I called, you know, I thought about that and sat on it. And about 2 months later, I reached out to my brother. I said, hey, do you remember that time we were waking up and there was that wood knock? He says, yeah, but there was two. Oh, dear. You know, so, you know, I'm being given proof that the Sasquatch are telling me the truth and that my friend was legitimate, right? And so with each, it just, you know, week by week, month by month, you have these little things that would happen, and the unbelievable would be believable. And it's just been years of this now.
Wow.
Okay, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And you know, good question, Tony, and great answer, Steve. Now, Robin, it is time for your question. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, gee, I don't know.
You'll come up with one.
Oh, let me think. I don't know. We have so much fun. I mean, really. I mean, we really do. Now, Steve, you had mentioned before about you'll go in other places and they show up there as well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Steve, is that the same bunch showing up? I just want to clarify for everyone.
Well, I definitely have a clan, and you know, there's some familiar names that show up. There's Minichi, the woman that had the twins. So my mom is in Northern California, and I fly back and forth every couple of months to check in on her, and I like to take, you know, walks around the town,
I was walking out from my hotel and, you know, just a really pleasant morning and thinking about my Sasquatch friends. And from across the highway, I get this, you know, just a yelp, just a scream. And she was away from the houses. And it was just a verification that, yep, when you're traveling, we're there with you. You know, what the heck are they doing in Northern California? I live in Seattle, you know? So they're just, they go where I go.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, if you noticed that, because I know it doesn't matter where I go. I went to Pennsylvania to do some work there. And I mean, I took a plane, flew to Pennsylvania, and I got there, and one of my core guys is like, don't, and they call me mom because they always heard my kids call me mom. And he's like, don't worry, mom, I'm right here. You'll be okay. And I'm like, what do you mean you're right here? I left you in Michigan.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm here. You'll be safe. Now, I want to point out that while he said I would be safe, it was there. When the really aggressive one showed up and I called for him, I got no answer. But at the same time, when I fell off the cliff, he was the one that pulled me back up the cliff, or, you know, so I didn't die. So that was a good thing. But,
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But, yeah, I just wondered if you're noticing that, too, because I know that's something that happens a lot with me, and as well with other people, certainly not just me.
Well, and it's funny too, and it goes to, you know, who are they, what are they, are they energetic, are they in the flesh and blood? And we asked my guide, you know, when I travel, does he fly with me? And his answer was, no, I don't like to fly, and I don't trust those things, is what he said. And so to me, that says physically he'll meet me there, but he's not getting on one of those planes. And so to me, it's not just energetic. There's times when he is physically traveling with me.
They will. We had, I drove my husband Pat's father at the time was not a well man, and he lived like 3.5 hours away from me. And I was talking to our mutual friend, Steve, on the phone, and my one main guy was talking to me, and I could feel him. Like, I could literally feel him like he was in the car. I could feel his energy.
Wow.
And I was telling her, I said, gosh, his dad's not doing well. I need to get down there quickly. And it's a 3.5-hour drive. I still got 2 hours left. And it was not literally a matter of minutes. And the next thing I know, my exit is there. And I'm like, where did the last 2 hours go? And I checked my watch, and my watch was where it's supposed to be. But it's like, okay, thank you, big guy. I appreciate it. You know, I mean, it was urgent. His dad was not well. And there was a difficult situation going on at the time. His wife had recently passed, and he was not one that ever had dealt with ghosts or the paranormal. And so he wasn't used to that, and his wife appeared in front of him, and he was like, oh my God, I just saw my late wife. And he went and got hold of Pat's brother, and his brother's like, his dad's gone crazy. He called me and he said, what time are you coming? And I said, well, I'm gonna leave in about an hour. He's like, can you leave now? Dad's lost his mind, and I don't know what the heck to say to him. And I'm thinking, he didn't lose his mind. I had already talked to Pat's mom, you know, in the past. And I'm like, okay, I'm on my way. So I'm talking to our friend on the phone, and I'm like, this is crazy. I need to get down there because the guy's having an anxiety attack. You know, nobody's believing him, and he's thinking something's not wrong with him. And she said, well, just ask the foot to tell him he needs a little help. And I'm like, guys, it would be really helpful right about now, you know. And I could feel him in the car, and I look up, and there's my exit. I look at my watch thinking, well, I know I hadn't been on the phone that long. And I look at my watch, it's been like 15 minutes. This is awesome. Thank you.
Okay. That's a cool that is a very cool experience. Now, Steve, are you ready for a crazy question?
I hope so.
Okay. Right now, I am knee-deep in my third edition of Lizardman 101.
Okay.
And I will be honest. When you, if you can see, if any of them have a sentence or two of advice for me about my book that I'm working on.
Well, I don't know that I can help.
I don't think you mind, do you?
I don't. I've heard it, but I'm not able to have a two-way conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Robin, I guess you and I can have that conversation later. All right. Have you had one, and you may have kind of mentioned this, have you had an experience that absolutely frightened you and you just didn't know what to do? And what type of experience?
You know, they have been so patient and kind with me. The fear really, no, not since I've been an adult. You know, I mean, the fear once, you know, the finding Bigfoot thing, once I became aware of them, that was a sort of a manufactured fear. You know, where did that come from? Just awareness. Oh, they're real, you know. But they have been so steady and so kind with me that now, you know, if I were to go camp out or something, yeah, I'm sort of anxious because, you know, it's the fear of the unknown, but they've never, ever, ever scared me.
Well, how long, I mean, you said that they've been around your whole life, which I believe, because I don't believe for 2 seconds they hadn't been and then they just popped in like that. They don't usually do it like that. But when do you think,
you know,
can you give, like, in my case, I remember when I was little, bits and pieces, and I remember bits and pieces as I was growing up with them. I mean, I remembered a lot, actually, throughout my lifetime. But I also know that the longer I'm into it, more stuff I remember.
Absolutely. And so I'll give you a couple of quick stories. We had some property. My dad had some property in the Santa Cruz Mountains south of San Francisco. And it was about 10 years old when we got this property. It's on this river called the San Lorenzo River, this little coastal stream. And at the time, this would have been, you know, 1971 or so, there was still a lot of wild fish in the river, steelhead and even salmon. And so I would be upstream from the house, maybe a couple hundred yards. And here I am, you know, doing my thing. And now the Highway 9 is up above us. And there's parts where it's kind of close. Well, in this case, it was far enough away from the highway. And somebody was throwing pebbles into the damn river in front of me. And it was like, and that spooked me because, like I say, in the summer, the kids could do that from a different spot. From this spot, they shouldn't be able to do that. So I could not see whoever was throwing these pebbles into the river. And so I kind of, you know, headed back to the house,
scary,
a little shook. And the other thing, right? So I forget what the term is. You guys can help me out, Robin. You can help me out. So when they project a false voice, right? Where they imitate a human. So
they just do imitations of the voices.
Right. So I'm upstream. You know, I'm upstream fishing, and my dad was kind of a, you know, he could yell pretty good when he wanted you. And that's what I heard, you know, Steven, you know, from down the house. And so I bust back into the house, and my dad was, you know, really interesting man, but he wasn't a practical joker at all. So I come back in the house. And I said, well, what do you want, Dad? He says, well, I didn't call you. So somebody had imitated my father's voice exactly such that I could run back into the house. Yeah.
We used to tell my kids, if you heard Mom call you into the woods, unless you physically see me, you do not go. You do not respond in any way, shape, or form, because they imitated my voice so dead on that you couldn't tell who it was, me or not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and one of the other things that I remember, you know, it was that this was a piece of private property, and there was barefoot tracks in the sand. And of course, Bigfoot wasn't really a thing back then. And it was sort of like, well, what is somebody walking around, you know, along the river barefoot? It made no sense to me. And I wish, you know, I'd casted that thing all those years ago. But, they have always been around. I just wasn't aware of it.
I think that's great.
I know the feeling on that one. Yes, I do. You know, I was up there in the mountains of North Carolina working on the Smoky Mountain Comic Expo and everything, and I got out of the Chamber of Commerce office. I'd had a just great, wonderful success there. Got in my car, rolled down the windows, started driving, and I smelled skunk for 2 full minutes. Right, Robin?
Wow.
Yep.
It's like, what can you do? I mean, you don't smell skunk for 2 minutes when you're driving 60 miles an hour. That never happens.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah. You just got to realize this stuff happens and just can't be afraid of it. You just go on and then you get underwhelmed when you don't see it. Let them know that, and they'll start saying hello more often. I know that sounds weird, but I finally said, you know, guys, I want you to say hello to me every day. And so far for the last 3 weeks, they every day. Isn't that interesting? Nothing frightening. Just let me know, and I'll have something happen. Like yesterday, I mean, I had the world's. Was it yesterday? Yeah, no, it was the day before yesterday. I was driving to. I don't care who hears this. I'm driving to Greenville, South Carolina, and I look to find my bank bag where I keep my money, and it's gone. And so I can't find it. I look all over the car. I pull everything out. Yeah, I got a messy car, but I don't know. Robin said, I mean, I pull everything out and it's not there.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad day before yesterday. All right. I had a lot of stuff I was taking. So I go to, thank God, there's a credit union, which is right at that little town. I got $20, went back. I called Robin. Robin? I don't normally like to ask for this kind of stuff, but I need some help. Where'd my bank bag go? He said, well, I don't know, but I saw it fall off your seat. I said, well, it didn't fall off the seat because it's nowhere around. I've looked in every square inch of this car. She said, well, that's what I see. If I see something else, I'll let you know. Because sometimes, Steve and Tony, when you need help, you're not the best person to give your own self help. Would that be a good way of saying
that's
it,
right.
Robin?
Yeah,
just
I agree. Kind of, I just
yeah,
I
so
knew
anyway.
It was in the car and watched it slide off.
So anyway, so I drive up and I'm going to the bank because I'm going to have to cancel all my debit cards. And the voice said, just stop here at McDonald's. I know, at Burger King. So I got out, I walked around, and opened the door, and there was my bank bag. Sitting there as pretty as you can say, just right there, stuck in the door. And I mean, this was like, I've seen it. It was like 3 feet from me when I was driving. And I didn't see it. I never saw it. And there it was. So it's like, you know, you asked for a sign. So that was my sign from, let's see, today is Friday. So that was my sign from Wednesday. It was like, well, here we are. Hey, and maybe you shouldn't be going up on Wednesday. Which was, you know, what it probably was, but it was great. Did I just sound crazy? I don't care.
No, not at all. You know, in fact, you know, Tony made the point too. You know, it's like they get your attention with something you either care enough about, or you know, like for me, it was a flashlight, and they know I don't like losing things, and so you know, I'm going to look at. And enough time goes by, it's like that thing is lost, it's gone for good, and then it shows up. And so I think the whole point is, it's like we really wanted you to know it was gone because when it comes back. You know, you got to pay attention to this. And so they just, you know, they're just not subtle sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I asked for a daily sign. And I'll tell you what the idea that I got was, is they needed to retrieve me from going on that trip because I might have had a car wreck and died.
Yeah.
That was the idea that I got. And who knows if I'm right, but you know what? If I ask for a little communication and, hey, how's it going? Then they yanked me back from a trip. That's pretty big hello. I mean, they have good judgment. Robin, they do have good judgment, don't they?
You know what? They actually do. And I find that when they tell me things and I don't, I mean, let me rephrase that. When they tell me things like they want me to do something, I always make sure that it's good for our people and their people. If it doesn't do well for both sides, then I don't do it. Okay, and my friend that I do this stuff with is the same way. If it doesn't benefit our people and their people, or, you know, if it's just going to benefit one or the other, but it doesn't hurt the other side, we're good with that. But then at the same time, they'll come at me and say different things, or you don't need to do this, or don't do this, or don't do this. Every time I listen to them, I have no issues. If I don't take their advice, I sink like a rock. It's awful.
Mm.
Like, their track record is impeccable.
kind of supposed to be. Well, Tony, let me ask you a question. We've been talking about messages back and forth, and you talk with, okay, yes, you talk to people, but, you know, let's do that quote from the sixth sense. Yes, you talk to dead people. Have you ever, Tony, had one of these spirits speak directly to you and either tell you something interesting that you should know or give you a piece of advice or whatever? Have you ever had kind of like a semi one and a half way conversation with a spirit?
Snippets. I've had my name called out of thin air. I've been going into places and them say no, but I don't know if that was because they just didn't, you know, I was invading their space, or they was afraid I was going to trip over something or disturb something or what. But as far as a back and forth, maybe like a close relative after they passed, something like that. But as far as on an investigation, it would just be a word or two. And now, but now, absolutely, I have heard my name called out of thin air before. I mean, within feet of me. And I've had them come up over my shoulder, and you could literally, and you couldn't hardly understand what they were saying because it was so fast. And you have to understand they're in a different dimension. And a lot of times, it was garbled, but I could feel the breath. And we were hunting at a remote location, and we were probably 15 yards from a pond.
Yeah.
And this entity come up and did that, and I could feel his breath and felt the hand on my shoulder, and I just about walked on water. I didn't get scared. I can tell you, just about. And I've had
well,
those types of experiences.
What did it feel like the experience was trying to tell you, or was it just a hello?
They were trying to communicate. We were doing an EVP session, and they were, I guess, trying to let me know that they were there and trying to communicate, because it wasn't whenever I felt the hand and the garbled speech, I didn't feel threatened at all. It was like they were trying to impart some sort of knowledge to me, you know, like relate their story or tell me, you know, I guess,
or at least
trying
just
to relate
say hello.
Their story.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I have had them say hello. I have out of thin air. Oh, yeah. I've had that happen. My name called. I've heard other people's names called out of thin air. Now I'm talking about just like we're talking now.
Yeah,
and
I've had that before, too.
Yeah.
Tony.
I mean, that's the first. Yeah. It's,
Tony.
Mostly females, it's more happy. It's like, Tony. Hey, Tony. Like that. That's usually how it is.
Okay, I'm sorry for the all you spirits. I'm sorry for the bad joke. I'm normally a bad comedian. I don't know when to be good. So as long as they don't get mad, don't want them to get mad. Robin, are any of the Foots mad at me for that one?
Not at all.
In other words, they know I have a show.
They
know I'm
a
real beginner. That is exactly right. And absolutely. When you're at the South Carolina Library and say, well, why don't you let me and my crew come here and talk? And I said, well, how much does it cost? And you know what the answer was from all three of those ladies? We're not going to charge you guys. We want you to come talk about Bigfoot and ghosts. I said, done deal. You know,
that's
so
awesome.
So now I'm going to give Steve a piece of advice. Just be yourself and say exactly what you think, and you'll get a free of charge location to go talk. That's the moral of that story today. All right?
I'll take it. Thank
I think
you.
So.
And another parallel that I picked up on between just the ghost hunting and the Bigfoot interaction is like I've had books and objects fly off of tables.
Well,
whenever they want to, when they want to get your attention, and you just don't pay.
Yeah.
You know, not paying. I've actually seen books fly across the room.
Yeah, I've seen that.
By myself in the house, and just the book just like you tossed it.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
Let me ask you a question. So does that just fascinate you, or does that scare you at all?
It fascinates me. I've never really been – I'm very curious. I've never been what you would say terrified. I've been apprehensive a time or two, but I'm so focused on what I'm doing to try to get really good communication and get to the bottom of their story or get their story that – You know, I really don't think, you know, it doesn't scare me. I just look at it maybe from a different view of, but they're just wanting to get my attention.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I tell you what, we only have 11 minutes left in this wonderful show tonight. And I've got a question that can take an infinite amount of time to answer. And I'm going to ask all three of you, and then I'll give my answer. You're going to have 1 minute to give a shot. Okay? What do you think that now, and I don't care if this is politically incorrect, but this is the question, the final question of the evening. The question is, what do you think about the power of prayer in interdimensional communication, and do you knowingly use it? Now, there's a question and a half, isn't it?
That's a good question.
Well,
yes,
I hope you don't mind, because it is something that preys on my mind a lot, no pun intended, but it really does. I'm going to go in the following order. Let's all take a deep breath. The order will be Steve, Robin, then Tony, and then I'll tell everyone to go forth and conquer. So, Steve, have you ever used the power of prayer to enable you in whatever you messages you are getting or wanting to get or needing to get?
Absolutely, yes. And, for what it's worth, I was not raised as a religious person. My parents both were, and I think they said, gosh, we're going to let the kids just do their own thing, and if they find religion, let them have it. And so I've always been spiritual by nature, but I kid you not, it was not until the Sasquatch people came into my life that I started to make any sense of that and have any appreciation for that. And so, you know, now, you know, my definition of prayer is probably a little bit casual than most, but absolutely, who I talk to is the source creator, and it's, I guess, non-denominational. And I talk to Mother Earth, Gaia. I talk to source creator. I believe now that my purpose here is to be a conduit between the two and to help raise Earth's vibration such that she can ascend and go to a higher fifth dimensional realm. And I think that is what the Sasquatch people have done, is open me up to this line of thinking so that I can live the life that I was meant to have. So absolutely, there's daily prayer in my life, and it didn't happen before the Sasquatch people.
Well, thank you, kind sir. That was an absolutely wonderful statement. And who goes next? I was so busy listening to this, I forgot who I said was next. Robin, because you always know it. Robin just always knows what to say. And then Tony, you'll go after that. Robin, what do you have to say on this subject?
Well, I use it every day. I do. To begin with, when we look at the Bigfoot people, they are excessively spiritual. They answer to Creator, which is our God, which is also their God. And as far as the work that I do with them, I use it continuously. I talk to God. I pray to God. I ask him for help when I need it. I find that it gives me comfort, and I feel stronger when I do that. I will say this. I do know people that are an atheist, and that's their choice. I respect that. And I feel like the Bigfoots aren't going to ignore those people. They're not going to pretend they don't exist. And they still have contact with people. I think that they, you know, it doesn't change the Bigfoot's belief any more than it changed the individual's belief. Myself, I am a firm believer in Creator, in God. I rely very heavily on my faith. I rely very heavily on the fact that I know He exists and that He's here to help us. The Bigfoots do as well. But like I said, you know, for the sectors out there that are atheists, I don't feel like, in my own heart of heart, I don't feel like, or have I seen evidence that the Bigfoots would stay clear of them because of that preference, because they're going to know the person's heart and soul. That's what they base everything on. But I do believe that as far as protection and that, myself, because I do believe in God, I think you have a better chance of safety and you know, more good things and that type of issue, you know, with your faith. But it's not for everybody. And I just don't feel like because somebody is not of faith that they are any less deserving, if that makes any sense.
It does.
You know me. I'm fair to everybody.
Yep.
I always am.
That was deep.
Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
I rely heavily on it, but like I said, it's not something that's for everybody. And, you know, the Foots will have contact with people based on them as a person as well. I do think they tend to gravitate for people with a strong faith, but I have seen them also with very good contact with people that may not believe in Creator as they do, but they absolutely do. I've watched them worship. I've watched them pray before. Tony, you're next.
Oh, okay. I'm still getting my head wrapped around that. Now, the question is, are you asking, do you pray during an investigation in order to get better communication? Is that what you're asking, or were you asking how faith?
We're asking however you interpret that question. It's very personal. So how do you interpret it?
I think that the entities are, if your intent is pure, you know, if they know if you're legit or not. I mean, if you're going in with an attitude that you want to create a circus, I don't think you're going to get near the communication that you would get otherwise. As far as the spirituality, I'm agreeing with both Robin and Steve because I look at a lot of different aspects. You know, I'm very spiritual, but I'm not a big organized religion fan because I think that's more about control. But I do think that you, that you, as you progress in your spiritual journey, your vibration increases.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You vibrate at a different level. And once you start vibrating at that different level, as you pursue the truth, I think other things are drawn to you because they know they can communicate with you.
Yeah.
100%. And now, for my turn, I'm going to actually yield to what happened when I asked that question because somehow we had a little time slip and we got an extra 12 minutes on this show. So as of right now, the show should be ended, and we still have 11 minutes and 8 seconds. And we had a time slip as I was asking that question. And I mean, because I know I'm very careful watching this clock, you know, because we know how much time we have. So in honor of that, I have one more question, and we're going to go with the following. Because this has to do with what we're talking about. Yeah, I hope y'all are okay with this. I'm doing this in the best spirit possible. I want to talk about protection.
No pun intended.
All four of us are in what people call a very iffy business. We're around entities, spirits. Not all are good. Not all are bad. So in the order of Robin, Tony, and Steve, and then I'll close because I know this will take 2 minutes apiece. What do you think about the protection that we need to continue doing this? Because as we work with these entities, whatever they are, we do open ourselves to some potential problems. And I know, as I said, I pray all the time. I had two big meetings today. I prayed before both of them. Both of them were 10.1s out of a 10. They were great. You know, prayer works for me. And, you know, I don't care. So in the order of the queen of ScaryCast, Robin, Tony, and then Steve, Robin, the queen of ScaryCast, what do you have to say about that observation question?
Okay, so you want to know, you know, do I use it? Do I think it plays an important role? Is that what you're saying?
Whatever you
want,
however.
For me, it does. I mean, especially in the work that I do, and Steve understands this because he does a lot of stuff as well. You can get taken out at any time. And because of the activity that I have and the things that I do with the Bigfoot, I kind of have an X on my back most of the time anyway. So you have to have a way to protect yourself. And yes, they've taught me various ways to protect myself. They keep a close eye on me in case I need backup, but I weigh very heavily on the power of prayer. I use prayer continuously. I have been taught by them how to use the energy that I create within my own body. We all have a white light. We all have a bright energy. We can all, there's not anybody out there that can't do it. If I can do it, a trained monkey can do it, okay? And you can use that as a protection shield if you know how to do it. And I have used it before, and I thank God daily that I was able to do so because it really saved me a few times. But, oh, yeah, I definitely use the power of prayer. I will pray for everything under the sun. I pray for people. I pray, you know, for various things. I use the power of a prayer like crazy. I heavily believe in it.
All right. Well, thank you. And I hope, you know, some people may find this politically incorrect, but I don't care. I think the power of prayer is a great thing to talk about. Tony Filosi, paranormal investigator at large. Do you have any comments on this one?
Absolutely. I can tell you that I rely heavily on the power of prayer for protection for myself and my team. And that when we come out of a location, especially if it's had a negative energy, a little bit of because a lot of these entities will try to represent themselves as way more powerful than what they really are. We'll say the Lord's Prayer. I find that helps. But combining that with saging yourself, and then if you really feel the need to, use blessed oil, and you can make the sign of the cross on your forehead, and then if you need to, you can also take a bath in sea salt, and that will
absolutely.
Clean you.
Yep, but, yep. There's several ways.
Right. But with all that being said, yes, I do believe in the power of prayer, absolutely 150% in the protection. A lot of times you may want to pray to the archangels. You know, you might want to ask Michael for protection. You might want to do that. You know, there's lots and lots of different ways, but they're all stimulated or gotten to by the power of prayer. Of focusing your intent, you know, if you want to put it in a different way.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you. And now our guest, Steve, what do you think?
Well, you know, yes, it absolutely is a very personal question, and it probably, you know, is not politically correct in some ways. The answers that I think we've all had, and I echo that answer. You know, one of the revelations for me, you know, in other words, I say I was sort of a spiritual person, but I wasn't even a practicing spiritual person, you know, just kind of kicking around my day. And so the Sasquatch came into my life, and I learned a whole lot of things. I mean, like the fact that we're, again, through my readings with Dolores Cannon, you know, that we are basically, not basically, we are light beings. We are these incredible,
yes,
powerful light beings. And,
absolutely,
you know, when we learn how to stand in our own power, nothing can touch us. And that just sounds so sacrilegious and everything else, but it's like, well, wait a minute, it's not. And we've incarnated in this lifetime to bring our energy and to hold the light. And that's really what we're here for. And that's, in my case, I believe that's why the Sasquatch have come to my life. And it was interesting too, and Robin, you can speak to this, but I'm told that the Sasquatch can find us because of the people that they're meant to work with, because our light is a little bit different, right? And so
we've come to this
earth at a certain time to have a certain task to help Earth. And so absolutely, I pray to my guides and angels who have my highest best interests every single night. I also have learned to, you know, use my own light where I'm shielding myself, as Robin talked about, the white light. In my case, it's a rose gold light. And, you know, you're literally just, you know, you're lighting up your crown chakra down to your abdomen, your stomach, your chest, and your head, and you're just blowing this energy around your whole body. And there's some other things, you know, Tony, as you said, you know, the saging, I use lavender. I put some lavender oil in the candles,
yes,
that I lit tonight to,
yep,
to create a space.
Absolutely.
You know, and I tell you what, the Sasquatch believe in lavender. I'll tell you one more cute little anecdote and be done. But so I had bought my mom some lavender deodorant, and I took it to her. And when I got home, I bought just a, you know, I'm a guy. I'm not going to wear lavender. And I bought this unscented thing. When I got home, there was a lavender, kid you not, there was a lavender deodorant in my house. And I called Mom. I go, Mom, did I take your deodorant? She goes, no, I still have it. Well, it turns out the Sasquatch decided, they saw me buying this, they decided I needed it too, and they made sure I have lavender scented deodorant. I mean, that's how nuts my life is now.
Hey, they have got me so bathed in lavender, it's ridiculous. Lavender shampoo,
right?
Lavender body wash. I had to get natural,
yeah,
lavender deodorant, all because they were afraid something big, bad, scary was coming after me. And they literally drove me nuts. I had to go to the store. Janice Carter and I had to go to the store because they were on her to get me into the store to get me lavender. It was ridiculous going all over the store and try shopping with these beings in your head talking, and they watch through your eyes. And they were like,
uh-huh,
no, you can't have that. No, don't use that. No, this one. No, that one. We spent a fortune on lavender. Nobody should have as much lavender as I have. Fortunately, I do love the smell of lavender, but I literally eat, breathe, and sleep lavender because it's one of their protections. I mean, there are all kinds,
yeah,
of things that you can do as an individual around the house to protect yourself. You know, but yeah, they are all about the lavender. Nobody will ever get this much lavender. So, Steve, I feel for you, bud.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, thank you. I'll tell my quick story because we had an extra 12 minutes. Two things happened. Number one, today I had to go into a meeting that could have been very, very bad for me, and I could have been harmed greatly. And I stood outside the door and I prayed and I walked in. They laid down and died. They told me everything I needed to know. They told me everything that the bad people were getting ready to do. And, you know, I can't help but say, thank you, Lord. I mean, it was just
absolutely
amazing. And then my initial reaction, I'm going to do this to them. And then I realized, no, don't you dare do that, because God gave you this information. Be nice to them and they'll fail. And so I learned a valuable lesson today. But the real lesson that I have learned is that I've had a great time with our new buddy, Steve, with Robin, with Tony, and all the wonderful cryptids listening in. We hope you enjoyed this as much as we did. So all I got to say is thanks. We'll see you next week. Thursday night is the plan on the one and only ScaryCast. Steve, we'll see you again, okay?
Thank you, John. A real pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
All right. Our two co-hosts, Robin and Tony, we'll see you next week. Be good.
Bye,
see you guys.
Everybody.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Robin.